This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. We are about halfway through this wacky NBA season. So I thought, you know what? Let's chat about it with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting buckets.
And we're back. Wow. Whoa. Crazy. What a year it's been.
Are you reflecting on the fact that the New York Knicks are one game over 500?
Are they now? I had no idea. I'm on Twitter. I'm not seeing anything about the Knicks. They're sort of flying under the radar. Oh, I see it now. Yeah, there was a parade on 34th Street. Was that what it was for? They're 17 and 16.
The New York Knicks fan base is famously nuanced and really like calm and quiet. We really know how to celebrate our victories with class. Yeah, we're game over like 500, and
that's right.
People are kissing on the sidewalk like we're home from war.
Yeah, this sailor dipping his sweetheart and smacking her on the lips. That's because they're 17 and 16. That's right.
We survived.
Actually, the Knicks play the Spurs today, I think. So they want to keep that good momentum going. Talking about classy franchises.
It would be the first time in 8 years, I believe, that the Knicks would enter the All-Star break over 500. So it's a very meaningful game tonight.
Whoa. Oh, is this the last game before the All-Star break for them?
It's right. I think it would ensure. I think we have one more, but if we're two games over after tonight, we'd be sitting pretty.
That's right. I mean, this is a classic 1999 finals rematch that everyone's been waiting for. Let's see. That was a weird strike-shortened season. Let's see what we can do now.
It's kind of wild that the Knicks have the best player in the matchup, right? Julius Randle, at this point, if you take both rosters, is the best player. It's either him or DeRozan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and DeRozan's on his way down and Randle's on his way up. Actually, that's a great segue into this idea that we had for this episode, which is, which players are we buying and which are we selling? We got stocks. We got Top Shot on the brain. So we thought, why not turn this whole NBA season into a stock market and see whose prices are going down and whose prices are going up in a segment I'll just call, buy and cellular division. Buy and cellular.
You were so close. The first
biathlon and
it was
cell.
A perfect game.
Cellathon.
And he gave up four runs in the bottom of the ninth, folks. He was so close to really
Bingo.
Teeing off the episode.
Okay, a segment we'll like to call To the Moon or Back at It Again with the White Vans. So
that's
it's like,
one.
Are these players going to the moon or are they damn Danieling all the way back to Earth? That's what we have to figure out. That's what we're going to discuss. So you got some players, I got some players, and we can discuss whether we're buying or selling them.
Yeah, the past two episodes of Buckets has been deeply market-driven. We've been maniacs with Top Shot. So this feels like one step in the right direction towards normalcy again.
Yeah, we have to start talking about these players like they're people, the sport like it's a game. It's not just X's and O's, numbers going up and down, but it a little bit is. So who are you? Who do you think you're buying and or selling right now, most of
all? I have a list, and I'd like to basically pose out a couple names to you, and you tell me perhaps if you're buying or selling, because I don't have these people that I am like right on the line about, and I don't know which way they might be going or how they're seen by the NBA.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
put on your GM cap. Are you trading for or are you trying to trade Kyle Lowry?
I think he's pretty hot right now. I think he's not like, you know. He's not mooning right now, of course. He's not like averaging a triple-double over his last 10 games. But he's riding the ship of the Toronto / Tampa Raps. And even more than that, a lot of contenders who are one point guard short are starting to eye him. Like, maybe we should give up some pieces. And if the Raps are like, listen, we're not winning a fucking championship this year. Lowry's, 33, 34 years old. Maybe we can fleece somebody who really, really needs a point guard. Like, think about what the Bucks paid for Jrue Holiday. Are you telling me the Sixers wouldn't give up top dollar to have Kyle Lowry in there? That would be a hot addition.
Come home, exactly. Pennsylvania?
Villanova grad?
Yeah, see, he kind of, it's weird because the Raptors were winning a lot when he wasn't there. And so it was one of those things where it was like, oh, is he actually like plateauing? But he's just so good that that's where he stands. But I see how a team like the 76ers are just like, we need a straight up ball handler.
And I hope the Clippers don't get him. As a Laker fan, I don't want the Clippers to get like a, that competent of a huge upgrade at point guard. But like, if the Clippers say like, hey, you can have Pat Bev, Lou Will, Serge Ibaka, might be too much, might be not enough for Toronto. They might be too far apart. But for the Clippers to add Kyle Lowry to Kawhi and Paul George, I mean, last time Lowry and Kawhi were together, it worked out well for them. So
worked out just fine. Just fine. Yeah. All right. So we got Kyle Lowry. His stock is still miraculously rising.
Yeah, I think towards the trade deadline, it's ticking up a little bit. And then if he stays in Toronto, I'd say like, you know, now we've reached the plateau. We know what Lowry's worth, and he's staying as the Raptors point guard. Probably good enough to maybe win a round or two, but ultimately not enough to win the championship.
Okay, stock rising, Kyle Lowry.
Here's someone whose stock is way, way up because it started the season in the shitter. I mean, the saddest, this one of the saddest players in the NBA 1 month ago is one of the happiest players right now. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Eastern Conference or Western Conference?
Great question. He was in the West and he just took a big duty on the court enough times that his team said, all right, fine, you can go to the East. And now he is living it up, living the vida loca.
Had 15 and 10 last night. Not easy. Even that, but the star player on the team went down, which means he could shine that much brighter in the Big Apple. We're talking about the beard, James Harden. Yeah.
James Harden, who was, did we ever get an answer on his physique? I mean, you're into that type of world. Was he really out of shape or was he just like pushing his gut out? Because now we're seeing comparisons to the Houston Harden and like the Nets Harden, and he's looking jacked again.
I don't know how to answer that question. Everyone sees everyone differently, but I will say that if he went to the level, we saw him make that pass when he was like, I'm done with you, Houston, and he threw it basically off the court. If he also let his gut out intentionally during the layup lines to project bigger, James Harden is a mastermind of getting kicked out, like trying to leave teams. You don't just inflate your stomach. I don't know how he does it. He looked bigger on one team, but...
He's got my MVP vote. Look what happened to the Rockets after he left. I think they've lost 11 in a row. They're one of the saddest franchises right now. Like they went from such high highs to such low lows.
Yeah. They had this like little tick after he left for like five games where they were like the number one defensive ranked team, and then Christian Wood went down, and then Boogie Cousins said, I'm leaving, like always it seems. And then suddenly Oladipo was like, I don't want to pick up the trade. I don't want to pick up the extra 2 years. And now it's just John Wall. Like, what about me?
It's like a team of outcasts and misfits with a chip on their shoulder, but not in a good way. It's not like they're, you know, they're not the Bad News Bears. They're like, no, they are actually a bad team. And it's like, it's a team of players that are just auditioning for other teams. They're not playing together at all. And when Christian Wood went out, like, that was it. They're not. Did they lose to Memphis by 50 the other day?
Yeah, they've been losing heavy, like down 30 in the second quarter. You're relying on the Nwabas of the world, the Danwell Houses of the world. I mean, like, it's PJ Tucker's trying to chuck threes. It's just tough in Houston right now.
Feel bad, but Harden is loving life. He's killing it. Like, what do you have, 30, 15, and 15? Like, he's like doing like legit like Russell Westbrook in his prime triple doubles, just like casually.
And no turnovers. That was the one thing that was like record breaking last night. He did it all with zero turnovers, which was like the highest triple double of all time with it.
And Katie's just like watching it from the sidelines. Like, I don't even have to play. This is autopilot. Like, this guy is playing for me basically. And then it's like, all right, when it's playoff time, I'll join the fray too. They're already averaging like 121 points. They don't need Kevin Durant to now join the team. What a redundant addition, but they'll take it.
Yeah. It's interesting that he's just out until the All-Star break now. I wonder if they're being cautious or if it's like, shit, is something bad? Because that's a lot of games now. He's played like in 10 games, 15 games.
Actually, talking about buying and selling, I actually went to see, like, what does a James Harden rookie card even look like? Because he wasn't necessarily, like, supposed to be that great. I guess he was a top five pick, but, like, I don't know if anybody was keeping his Oklahoma City card thinking he would be, like, an MVP.
Yeah,
Arizona State right. to Oklahoma City. Right. And then his stock in, like, Houston was so low that, like, his card wasn't worth that much earlier in the year, but it's, like, doubled mm-hmm. or tripled since going to Brooklyn because, like, if he can shed the title of best player to never win a title and win one this year, then mm-hmm. I think that moves his card value to a next level, a higher stratus.
I wonder if he is one of these, like, he has more national fans than local fans. Like, I wonder if Brooklyn rallies and reps James Harden like he's one of them. I feel like he just will have outsider status there. Maybe it's just because I never lived in New York when the Brooklyn Nets were really a thing, but I don't know. It just kind of seems like it's going to take a while for them to be like, he's one of us.
It is weird. Like, I don't know any Brooklyn Nets fans because they were New Jersey Nets, and I don't know any New Jersey Nets fans. And then do Rockets fans still like him, or do they think that he quit on the team, or are they like, no, we are on your side against the owner. The owner's a piece of shit. We like you, James Harden. So I don't know where Rockets fans lie about James Harden either.
Yeah, I wonder how I would react if I saw how he, like, presented to the team for the first 10 games of, like, just going to strip clubs, being like, no, just no. Yeah. I wonder if I'd be, like, bitter as hell.
But you don't want to take Fertitta's side either.
Yeah, there's no winning in Houston, it seems like. Go to Brooklyn, better city.
All right.
I have another player, Amir. I'm going to point to you, and you tell me, are we buying or selling?
Okay.
Your boy, your center tonight, because Marc Gasol is out, your starting center. Montrezl Harrell.
They might put in that that 7-footer that we signed to a 10-day contract to make him start and have Trez come off the bench still, just because, like, that's all Montrezl knows is to, like, come off the bench and wreak havoc, spit and yell and get fired up. But yeah,
right.
He's basically our only center tonight.
Yeah, we buying into him tonight, or are we buying into him for the rest of the season? Do you think that he is getting better as the season is progressing?
He's hot and cold. Like, it really is so matchup dependent. Like, there's some games where he's like 17 and 12 in 15 minutes and a plus 32. And then some games where he has to guard like Robin Lopez and he just can't do it.
And so is that what it is? Is it when he has to guard 7-footers where it's just like a mess? And then when he guards like smaller centers, he can just bully him?
Yeah. He's really good at bullying, like softer 6'9", 6'10" inch centers that like don't want any part of Trez. And he's really like, struggles against like 7'1" Like tonight we're playing DeAndre Ayton and I'm like, ooh, that's not a good time for Marc Gasol to go out. Like if you're bigger than him and you can just put your ass into him, into Trez, then there's not much he could do. He's 6'7" or 6'8". He's just like 3 or 4 inches shorter than these guys, and their wingspans are so big. But I think he still has a very necessary place on the Lakers team, especially with AD out. We need someone to you give the ball into him and he'll get you, 18 points on 9 of 12 shooting.
Well, that's exactly what LeBron I was wondering. Sits. With AD out, it's like, it seems like obviously Schroeder was out too and Kuzma is who he is. I was like, is this when Harrell like just beasts where he just starts going like 20 and 14 for like 2 weeks? And I don't know, I just don't expect it at all. Part of me thinks we've seen the best of him and it's just all effort.
Yeah, and his the best of him is like when you use him for 20 minutes. Like you can't ask him to play 42 minutes because like his whole role is like getting in there and just like fucking going ham on a backup power
it's like
forward,
a mascot that, like that's allowed to play
Batum. Right, exactly.
Right.
But like it's turbo mode, so like you can't run out of it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I do I want him to win just because I want him to like leave the Clippers and come to the Lakers, and all the Clipper fans that like warned us that you can't really play Harrell, I want to sort of show to them it's like, no, you can play Harrell. It's just that the Clippers didn't know how to win with him. But
there you go.
I guess that's just my Laker fandom coming to light.
Wow, and it so rarely does, so it's fun to see.
Yeah, and I usually love the Clippers, and I try to stay out of that. But actually, speaking of the Clippers, they're part of my confused, are you buying or selling the Clippers? Because to me, I feel like they're the most under-talked about team in the, almost the entire NBA right now. Like,
agreed.
When they win, I don't really hear about it. When they lose, I don't really hear about it. Like, I think everyone's completely written them off as, like, a regular season whatever. They're like, let's just see you in the second round. Like, I don't care if you lose to Milwaukee by 5 or if you beat the Grizzlies by 30. Like, I'm not going to give you any respect. You're not going to lose any respect until the playoffs.
you know the world is upside down when everyone talks about the Jazz and not the Clippers. Like, they're equally killing teams. And people are like, the Jazz. It's like the Los Angeles-based, like the second biggest media market in the world, Clippers, are like, no one's talking about them. But it's like the Kawhi factor.
Yeah, it's...
They bring their lunch pail to work. They beat you down. They pack up.
It's also the Paul George thing. I think people just... Like, Paul George was at one point like shooting like 50-50-90. And like, when we were talking about MVPs, it was always like, Jokic, Embiid, LeBron. Like, oh yeah, I guess Paul George is having a pretty good season too. But again, like, you just can't get too excited about these guys for whatever reason.
Yeah. I buy the Clippers, though. I mean, last year was the first year, and it kind of felt like LeBron's first year with the Heat, where it was like, all right, they got the pieces, now it's just over. But it like took 1 year to be like, uh-oh, they're slowly killing everybody now. The second year is when like you've played together a little bit, you got past that bubble, all that nonsense. The Clippers could be that. I mean, it's not breaking news to say the Clippers could just run the table right now, but they're killing teams. And Kawhi's playing in the second half of back-to-backs, which is also different. So, you know.
Yeah.
If they were taking games off, they're better now. Yeah.
They were earlier. I think they had some COVID thingamajig, or maybe Pat Beverly was hurt, or and Kawhi and Paul George were out. But I remember they didn't have any players and they beat the Heat at home. And then they got all their players back and they lost to Milwaukee recently. They have terrible crunch time stats, is what I read. Those like when the game is within 5 points with 5 minutes or left. They just like, they don't know how to run an offense. It's all very ISO. And it's like Kawhi and Paul George are the same player. Like, you either give it to Kawhi and Paul George sits, or you give it to Paul George and Kawhi sits. Like, you never see like Kawhi setting a screen and then rolling to the basket, or like a Paul George Kawhi pick and roll. That's not necessarily what they're doing.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah. Yeah, the Clippers are that team where it feels like they have two stars and it's just like, you go, I go. You go, I go. And coaching like, can make that so much better. But they do kind of have that vibe of, you know, your turn. All right, my turn. Your turn. My turn. Which is really annoying when you're playing FanDuel, because it's like,
oh. Yeah, is this the game where Paul George is going to go for 30 and 10? Yeah. Or is this a Kawhi game or a Paul George game? And you can never tell.
Right. But I'm buying the Clippers. I don't know. Are they the favorite? Okay. Are they Vegas favorite right now to win it all?
No. The Lakers are heavy, heavy favorites still. I think the Lakers are plus 150. Yeah. Everyone's like, AD's out. And when he comes back, everyone thought they'd be the favorite. And so I think they're still the number two record in the NBA right now, even with that losing streak and AD's injury. So if you're long on the Lakers, then you haven't seen anything that dissuades you from that at all.
Yeah. At the beginning of this season, you said many times over, we're just waiting for the playoffs. This doesn't matter. We're just waiting for the playoffs. And like, it's really starting to feel that way where it's like, maybe it'll be the 2 seed or the 1 seed or the 3 seed. You don't care. And I really can see it and feel it now. Just get to the playoffs. I mean,
if Utah is 1 and then it's at Lakers or Clippers 2-3, then it really doesn't matter. Like, all right, it matters what the colors on the court are in front of an empty arena. Like, to have home court advantage against a Lakers or a Clippers team, it's the same thing.
I got news for you. I think we're going to have crowds for the playoffs.
In LA?
I think so. I think it won't be capacity, but I think so.
Right. I guess not enough to make a difference, I would say. Even if it was full crowd, like at a Clippers game, it's 50-50, and at a Lakers game, it's 90-10. So there are more hostile environment. Like, I'm more scared about playing in Denver, playing Utah, playing at Dallas. The Lakers are not fearful of the Clipper crowd.
Yeah, that's not new news. I'm here once again as a Lakers fan for anyone just tuning in right now.
That's right. Yep.
Let me talk about one of my New York Knicks, former New York Knicks right now. Change of place. Just changed. Okay. Just changed location. Was going
former
to the
Knick.
G League. Yes. Was going to the G League, and then he got traded last minute. And now is starting for another Eastern Conference team. And getting minutes.
Dennis Smith Jr.
Do we think that we're buying low right now? Does he start the season if DeLon Wright doesn't come back? I mean, does he finish this thing?
Oh, God. I can't believe we're talking about the Detroit Pistons.
Backup point guard. Yeah.
I remember starting. It was like Dennis Smith Jr.'s first game. It's like, he's starting. It's like, all right, let's FanDuel him up. It's like 2 points, one turnover, two assists.
Rough. Huh.
Did he start or rough. Did he play 8 minutes in the third quarter?
Rough.
Yeah, he did have a highlight
we're
dunk.
We're at that point
so
in
that
the season.
Good.
Yes, he did have that old school. But we're at that point in the season where like Michael Carter-Williams is starting for the Magic. Yep. Like Dennis Smith is starting for Detroit. Like the wheels are starting to come off on some teams.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's like, we don't need to win. We're just going to experiment. Who is Sabin Lee or Sadiq Bey? Let's throw this guy into the fire and see what happens.
Svi Mihailuk. If you've got an S and an interesting first name, you're probably on the Pistons.
No, it's the Wolves bench. I looked once at the box score and it was like, J. McLaughlin, J. Vanderbilt, J. whatever, J. something. I'm like, who are these interchangeable humans? Jamichael.
We got a lot of Jareds on the bench.
Yeah. And then the Timberwolves are also a complete dumpster fire right now. They're like, they'll start anybody. I haven't seen D'Angelo Russell in a year. I guess if you want to buy low on Cat.
Yeah. Like if the season were to, like the over under for the rest of the season, I feel like they are the one team that it's like, and full disclosure, I picked the over on 29 games for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mess of a choice. But they've hit rock bottom this season. And it does seem like there's really only up from here. Anthony Edwards is getting like 30 minutes and that's fun. You know, they're starting to get a little bit of shape. Yeah.
He's very exciting.
Yeah. You think he has a higher upside than RJ Barrett? In my keeper league, I'm going to have to decide who I'm keeping next season.
I don't know, because RJ is like the number two in New York and Anthony Edwards might be the number three, but might blow everything. They might just say, let's get rid of Kat and see what an Anthony Edwards led team looks like. It's at the very least more entertaining. Yeah. Like, does anyone want to watch Kat shoot flat footed corner threes, or do they want to see like Anthony Edwards jump over Rudy Gobert and throw it towards the rim? It seems like a product standpoint. And Anthony Edwards is so cool as a dude that, it's like you kind of want to build your team around. He's just a funny guy.
Yeah, he, great smile, very self-aware. We have a big crush on Anthony Edwards.
He's got a very Jimmy Butler vibe to him, where he's like, this is like a fun thing for me, and I'm also here to kick ass, and I can also jump over people, so that's fun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like an innocence to everything he says. You're like, he's just joking?
He's very dry. He's very, very dry. Here's two players that have been intrinsically intertwined for their entire short career is Ja Morant and Zion Williamson. Last year, Ja was straight up and Zion was straight down. Everyone's like, is this Zion ever going to play more than 12 games in a row? Like, Ja Morant might end up being the better player. Even earlier this year, Ja Morant was doing some amazing things and Zion was struggling. And then in the last month, Ja got hurt. And Zion has been like just absolutely beasting and Shaquille O'Nealing people in the post.
Yes.
And it feels Shaq like they can never be up or down together. It seems like when Ja goes down, Zion goes up. That's where I think it's happening right now.
There was like a time when, like you said, Shaq was playing in the NBA where if you looked at his last 10 games, it was farcical. 44 and 18 and 3 blocks, like 36 and 22 and 7 blocks. Yeah. Zion is like 60 games into his career and he is trending towards those lines pretty frequently now. It's
and
awesome
he's also,
to watch.
He's not even that tall. Like, how is he 13 of 18 from the field? He's 6'6". Like, he's Charles Barkley sized, but like, his strength and his speed and his like agility, like he's near the ball and it just like you can't touch him and you can't stop him, and if he misses he'll get the putback.
Yeah, he's really finding himself. What would you say is Ja's thing that he needs to improve on? Because right now it seems like he's plateaued on a pretty high, but like, what is he what comes next to take him to that next level? Shooting?
I don't know. He's a pretty good shooter. Like whatever De'Aaron Fox added recently, like he's just, I guess young point guards are not very consistent. Like he'll have games where he kind of disappears and then some great games where he's like 25 and 10. And I think when you get into the De'Aaron Fox point of your career, you're having those games more regularly and people start to take notice of that more. Ja Morant is maybe having two hot games and one cold and you don't really see him sometimes. And then sometimes he'll do this amazing like pass where he seemingly floats in the air or he throws it down right-handed from like almost the free throw line. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a highlight machine, much like Dennis Smith Jr. was like his freshman year, but then like he just lost all value.
Yeah. It's crazy how quickly it goes, but like, it seems like once you're in that stratosphere, once you're in that zone, it's hard to lose it. So hopefully Morant puts even more good games together. Like De'Aaron Fox or I don't know who's an all-star this year, all-star point guard in the East or in the West. Like Morant did not make it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander Steph is also Curry. Like on that precipice. De'Aaron Fox also did not make it. Oh, Steph I guess Chris Curry, Paul Chris made Paul. It. Yeah.
Steph Curry, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's not ready to leave yet. He's like, no, I'm still here. I'm still an all-star. Sorry, SGA. Sorry, Devin Booker. Sorry, Ja Morant.
I'm the president of the players union. I have to be there for meetings anyway. Let's just kill two birds with one stone. I'll dribble the ball a little bit. I'll answer some questions in a conference.
That's right. I won't miss a 12-footer ever, so you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Not to get too in the weeds with Jot previous down Zion episodes. Up. Yep. Support that. Not to get in the weeds with the previous two episodes. However, we did talk about NBA Top Shot, and since that time when we were a pot's boiling over, we were ebullient with excitement about Top Shot and making fast fake money.
Needed it fast.
The marketplace is frozen.
Plateaued.
The marketplace has stopped.
Yeah, it's either down or currently not online.
Right. NBA Top Shot, is the stock rising still or have we seen the top for a while?
Ooh, interesting. I definitely think we saw the peak. I don't know if it's going down yet or if the ascent has just slowed down. That's what it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. I think we'll know more next week after All-Star Weekend if we are trending down or just trending up at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm. You had a theory about the 170, 80,000 packs that they're going to give out next week that you had to be in line for last week, that it was going to chum up all of the waters and that there's going to be a lot of lower priced cards that'll just kind of like populate the marketplace. Do you think that's still true?
Yeah, they've been doing these limited release packs mostly where like 5,000 people, only 5,000 people can get it and 200,000 people are disappointed. And recently they're just like, all right, this next release, we're making 600,000 packs. Whoever wants one is getting one. And I think those are the moments that will be like represent like the intro cards or moments to newer fans that don't want to spend $280 on an Anthony Davis jumper. They're like, all right, this will be like the $2 to $10 plays because they want to get more people in the ecosystem. Like I said, to chum the waters to make it more exciting for more people to join. I think they're focused on growing methodically and a little bit slower than whatever happened 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Right, which was just exponentially mooning and everything was worth $1,000, no matter what it was.
Yeah, exactly. That was that. Felt fake, but exciting at the time.
Yeah. Do you want to break new news and say the other thing that we're kind of hip to right now to get people in as well, or should that remain a secret for our own pockets?
We can tip it just because you know it's still in beta. You still got to sign up to a wait list. But dibs.io, dibs.io, which I'm not even sure if it's a website or an app, but it basically it's a sports card stock market. So you can buy fractional shares of these sports cards. But again, I don't think you're actually getting to own any sports cards. I think you're just like investing in the price of a card. Like if a Michael Jordan card cost $50,000, you can buy $100 worth. And if that card is now worth $100,000, you can potentially sell your $100 share for $200. I think that's what it is. Again, I found out about this 29 minutes ago, so I'm going to have to do more research.
That's right. But I mean, we learned about Top Shot and we just started talking about it like we knew what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. Don't stop now. Stop now. That's also a great reminder. If you're listening to Buckets right now and you have extra cards lying around, Boom Explosion. Send Boom Explosion the gift cards. That's my handle.
That's right.
We're accepting Ish Smith's, Daniel Tice's. Got a couple last week. Thank you to everyone who sent it.
Yeah. Do you remember who sent it? Like, we got to give them a shout out, right? Like, we said we would personally thank them. So do you have usernames of who sent you to Boom Explosion, that Ish Smith, that Daniel Tice?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to pull them up. Amir, I sent you the link, just like okay. TopShot has been doing lately. I've been trying to log in recently, and I'm getting 404 service errors.
That's like going the
white,
to happen.
Like the white, yeah, like the white screen with black text where like a website is really, really down. So
yeah.
This is my promise to the three people who sent me cards. Next week, I will say your handles and thank you properly. And hopefully the list is longer than three people because I get more Ish Smiths and more Daniel Tice's. The handle is Boom Explosion.
And then, who knows, next week people are going to be sending you 8% of a bowl rookie card, and you'll be able to thank them for that.
I mean, gotta lock in the handle Boom Explosion on Div.
The screenshot looks like it's Robin Hood, but instead of stocks, you're investing in like Luka Doncic. So it's like, give me $20 worth of, I don't know, this Panini Prism 2018 Doncic rookie card. And I don't know how they're tracking the price, if it's like by most recent eBay sales. But it seems to be like a 24/7 marketplace where like they're saying, oh, this card is worth $1,500 today, $1,400 tomorrow, or $1,800 the next. I don't know how they're tracking that, but it seems like you can buy and sell shares of these cards.
And is it even like rooted in an actual card? Like, I know that the card that it's pretending to be exists out in the world, but like, am I actually buying 8% of an actual card? Like, if I own 100% of that card, do I get that card? This might be for another episode of Buckets.
I think you're not, but I think what it does is like, let's say you have $1,000 and you're like, should I spend it on this Kobe card or should I just buy $500 worth of two different cards that are like sort of theoretical in the cloud? Then you're not worried about actually receiving a card, getting it and keeping it and selling it. You're just saying, okay, I own half of this theoretical card. And then when I'm ready to sell, I'll sell half of my theoretical card at a profit. So you don't have to worry about any of the physical logistics of buying and selling.
The romance of collecting cards is so far gone. Like, just opening up a pack for the fun of it to see your favorite players. Now it is raw money and profits.
It's numbers and it's graphs for these people. That's right.
I own 22% of a Nikola Jokic third year card, and it went up $6 yesterday, and I'm going to sell. It's like, enjoy your cards.
Yeah. Dad, can I see your card? Oh, sorry. No, it's just this line graph now, but you can assume that it's gone up 20%. So that's good. I just got an email from Twitch. Josh Hart is opening packs with Jalen Brunson. So Billy, if you want to leave right now and watch that, I'll understand.
Hopefully they will send cards to Boom Explosion. But Amir, are we nervous that with the celebrity of it all, like, these guys are getting free packs, right? No doubt Josh Hart is getting free packs.
Yeah. And that's, I don't like anybody that's getting mad. They're like, why is he getting free packs? It's like, yeah, because it's fucking Josh Hart and he's talking about Top Shot. So that'll help you out too, dude. Like, don't worry about his Tim Hardaway serial number 12,860. Like, just the fact that he's twitching about it is helping us all out. So you don't have to get angry about that.
But what if we want to get angry about it because we want more cards and we don't know how to get them?
Oh, I mean, if you truly want to be angry, then I understand, and that you should be livid.
Yeah.
Be as angry as possible. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Get real mad.
I heard that like Spencer Dinwiddie and a couple of like forward thinking players helped invest in NBA Top Shot. Have you heard this at all? Have you heard this?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of a conflict of interest? Like the NBA and the Players Association are getting paid, a select percent of this marketplace. But then in addition to that, Spencer Dinwiddie's also getting like a few million dollars.
Yeah, I support it. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie has nothing but time right now. So
he deserves it.
If he just wants to watch his blockchain go up and down, by all means.
And by the way, if you're mad at basketball players for getting free moments in the Top Shot marketplace, I have some really, really bad news for you about rich people in general. Yeah, actually get a lot of free shit. They get the free shit and then they're supposed to like tweet and make Instagram posts about it. Sometimes they're even like legit advertisements for the things. I swear.
No way.
Like,
thought it was all just organic, see, just moments just being captured.
Yeah, like you'll see, like if you see like James Harden in an Adidas commercial, like that's just not him showing off his shoes. Like he's legit getting paid to wear those. Sometimes don't hundreds lie. Of millions of dollars. It pisses me off. Why doesn't Adidas send me free shit? This is so fucked up. This is bullshit. I deserve shoes.
I did not know. I did not know that Harden was getting $100 million to sew off shoes. Suddenly, the $9 base packs Josh Hart is opening don't seem that bad.
I'm not mad at that anymore. I'm no longer mad. I'm now mad at other more important things like racism.
I'm never going really to mad watch about commercials that. The same. Oh, okay. It's crazy. Really hammer that one home. Okay.
Here's someone that's trending up that started the season off pretty cool. Luka Doncic. Remember him?
Yeah. Yeah. He's had those games now.
He was the MVP favorite going into the season. And then Dallas was like 6-10 and nobody really talked about Doncic. He seemed kind of upset a lot of the times. And we're all like, oh, I guess he's not going to win MVP. And then in the last like 10 games, they're 8-2 and he's having those, you know, casual 33-15-9s again. And he's creeping back into the MVP Mount Rushmore conversation.
I don't blame any player over the first 15 games for just like playing like shit. You know, mid-season form, especially on a shortened for a reason.
Especially like
this season specifically.
In this weird season. Yeah, there's no... Yeah, like, I keep reading stats that like offenses are historically great this year. Like teams are in general not playing very hard defense right now.
And there's so many back-to-backs that the second night is just going to be gassed dudes just trying to stop the ball. It's impossible.
That's right. And you're also playing in empty gyms. So like there's no like fanfare to keep defenses hyped and inspired. At
right. Home. Yeah. Manufactured adrenaline. He's definitely been moving up, and it seems like Kristaps, I don't know if he's like just in like people just like stopped liking him, but it seems like he's moving down, even though his game seems pretty consistent. It's like now they're saying he might go to the Warriors and just like, they never really had a shot there. It seems like yet.
Yeah, it definitely, when he got traded there, Luka was like a great rookie and they're like, oh, this could be like a solid 1-2 punch. And now it's starting to be like, it's Luka and the rest of the team. And sometimes Porzingis is the best of the rest. And sometimes it's Tim Hardaway Jr. And sometimes it's Jalen Brunson. And it's Luka separated himself from the Porzingis pack.
Yeah, he's just so far and away better than him now, is what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like maybe they should just trade him for someone who's quote unquote less of a unicorn, but maybe more reliable.
Right.
Like who a Christian Wood or pairing? Something. Yeah.
Like yeah, give exactly. Him a, it seems like great it's center. Still a power forward.
Yeah. A big, like, honestly, AD would be a great pairing. Not that he's going to Dallas, but like someone who can be like a pick and roll partner and also roll to the rim and catch lobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, AD is sort of a cheat answer because he'd be a great second fiddle to anybody. But Luka and AD would terrorize the
league. Did you see the pass Luka made yesterday, by the way, when he jumped out of bounds and did the behind the back to like the back cutting Tim Hardaway, I believe it was?
Yes, yes, yeah. He was like, he was running the baseline and like four people followed him and he just went around the back to a wide open Tim Hardaway Jr.
Bounce pass. Like the audacity to jump out of bounds and then throw a bounce pass back inbounds. It was just like, you see the court different, man.
Yeah, he wasn't even looking over his shoulder. He just knew that there would be someone there. It's like, they're achieving that level of chemistry. He just knew. He assumed someone would be there, and that person was indeed there. Good on him. Congrats. Yeah. Mazel to Luka.
Stock rising. Though they're not that fun a team to watch, they are just also quietly killing teams, the Phoenix Suns.
Yep. They are quietly becoming the best non-LA team. I guess Utah too now. That number four seed in the West. That's why I'm so excited about this Lakers-Suns game tonight. By the time you guys hear this, like the Suns will either have beaten the Lakers and people will be like, okay, all right, they're kind of for real. But if they lose to the AD-less Lakers, then people will just throw them into the Denver, Utah, San Antonio, Portland pile of like pretty solid teams that don't necessarily have what it takes to win the West, but can potentially make it to the Western Conference Finals.
I think it's for games like tonight is the exact reason they got Chris Paul. It's like they do not lose to the Lakers tonight with Chris Paul, with AD out. You know, it's like last year, who knows, you know, Ayton, Booker, maybe one of them gets cold. But like Chris Paul feels like he wills them to a win in games like tonight. We'll see.
He's great. Yeah. He's awesome. And they're playing great too. I'm really excited for the playoffs to start to see like what the matchups will be. Like who would like Suns Mavericks for seven games would be really exciting. I don't even know who would win that if that was like the 4-5.
Yeah. I was going to say that the Western Conference feels like it's really taking shape and everyone's awesome. And then I think about the Eastern Conference and the Knicks are in fourth and like the eighth seed, or like the 10th seed, is like a game behind them. So it's like, like it's going to be,
if the Knicks lose their next two games, if the Knicks lose like three in a row right now, they're going to be like 17 and 19 and in 11th place.
Yeah. 14 games out of the playoffs somehow. Like the math just somehow shakes out that way.
Okay, I got one last pairing of trending up, trending down, buying and selling, mooning and earthing.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown appears to be mooning up, and Tatum has taken a dip. Like, that used to be the Tatum show with a side of Brown, and now it looks like they're almost caught up.
Is that a good thing for the Celtics, that Brown has
evidently caught up? Evidently not.
Yes. Because
they are struggling. Unlike the Knicks, they are not above 500, I don't think. I think they're right at that. Maybe a game above or a game below or at 500, but the Celtics are struggling. And it does feel a little bit like the Clippers-ish, where it's like their offense isn't moving a lot. It's very ISO heavy. And sometimes Tatum could do amazing things. Like we saw last year in the playoffs, he hit some buzzer beaters. And sometimes it just feels like it's stagnant. And if he's missing it, it just feels like hero ball that's not necessarily conducive to winning.
Yeah, they miss Marcus Smart. He's a good basketball player. He's a winner.
Yep, he's their Draymond.
Like he made both of... Yeah, exactly. He makes both of them better. I think Tatum's on record as saying that COVID has been like pretty tough to come back from still. Like he still has like nights where it's just really difficult. So I'm not going to...
Yeah.
I can't really knock the guy.
It's great. You're like on the Zach Lowe podcast, he's like, I have some neighbors that got COVID and they like had a problem like walking around the block next week. And these guys are like, all right, you had COVID and try to guard Kawhi Leonard now. It's like, whoa.
Second night of a back-to-back, Marcus Smart is out and Kemba's recovering from injury.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what do you mean you're not the second coming of Kawhi?
Well, I was just getting my breath and legs back, so I can't necessarily guard Kawhi Leonard for 40 minutes. What a fucking weird season we're having. We're forcing these guys to play, despite the fact that there's a deadly disease just ravaging full teams. Thanks for that, guys.
2,000 people in at a time, just waves of people to breathe on them. It's all getting messy again, folks. Stay inside, wear a mask.
Don't listen to the governor of Texas. Stay inside and wear a mask. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Those were my last two. Do you have any last ones?
I'll take your opinion on this because you, on the text chains, you hammer this dude. We could rap on him. Last year's number three pick, something like that, for the New York Knicks. Do you believe in RJ Barrett when push comes to shove?
Well, it's funny. We were talking about John Zion. That was the Zion 1, Ja 2, RJ 3. I started RJ in a few fan duels and like that's the extent of my relationship with him, and it just like he never showed me such flashes of excitement, but like at the end of the game you'll see as like, oh, 19 points, 9 rebounds and 5 assists, which is like a solid line on a winning team. I don't know why I can't get excited. Maybe it's because he never has, like, I'll never see a flashy RJ Barrett highlight. Like Zion.
He works hard. He brings his lunch pail to work, just like Kawhi. He's like, muted. He's not rah rah me first.
No, he's totally not. And what's his ceiling? Like, if he can't jump out of the gym and he can't sprint past a defender, like we're hoping for what exactly out of
Julius Randle? I think we're hoping for Julius Randle out of Barrett.
Interesting. Barrett. So I guess they are both lefties, so he's just like staring and watching Julius. Although Julius was always a bulldog and a bruiser and like kind of a little Zion in his own right. RJ Barrett's not really that. He's more of like, I don't know, Trevor Ariza. Maybe he can be like a really good Ron Artest, or I don't know if he's that good defensively.
Yeah, I think
he's
you're giving his jump shot too much credit. Yeah, I think you're giving his jump shot way too much credit. He's still just like, put your massive shoulder down and try and get to the hole. But I will say, he has really, really bad games for the New York Knicks. But then he usually bounces back with two, you know, above average ones. So I'm believing in this kid. It feels like he is a quiet winner for the New York Knicks right now. We'll see.
Yeah, I think consistency is so much a part of it. Like, superstars average 29 a game because they never get like 8 points a game. Whereas like even De'Aaron Fox this year, I keep mentioning him, like he'll have some games where he's like 3 of 12 from the field for like 9 points. Like that does not happen to like LeBron or Luka. Like they're bad games. They still find a way to score at least like 15 to 20.
Ja Morant is still in that class too, where like he'll have like a 7 point, 5 assist game, just like 30 point games. Right.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily like playing that much better. It's about like literally doing it almost every single night. And that's what's so hard.
Right.
And I understand that.
Creating a consistent floor.
These podcasts are not like, they're not all great. I mean, this one was a classic, of course, but like, I can't be pretend like I can bring it every night. That's just, I don't have it in me.
No.
I understand. Yeah. I'm serious.
No. No.
Yeah. Just like Top Shot, there's a floor. There, we know the floor. We're tracking the floor. That's the most important part. You want to buy the floor. By the way, before we go, how's your Wiggins doing?
My Wiggins, Boom Explosions Wiggins, had a price drop, folks.
The really?
It got a haircut.
Interesting. Haircut. Am I popping on evaluate.market? We can track it exactly where you got it and where it was last week and now. Boom Explosion,
okay,
right?
So that's right. That's the one. It was $85 Boom. In a hot market.
Yep.
It was 85. Yeah. It was serial number 5,700 and something of 12,000 or so. We chopped it down to 59. We took off 26. It's cooled down.
Yeah, it's cooled down. It's in the 30 range right now.
Yeah, that's bad, folks. That's bad. Yeah. When we bought it was in the 50s.
What we're hoping for is some sort of Andrew Wiggins dunk contest special. He joins last minute. Maybe opens a pack with Luka Doncic, promises to do something special. I don't know what we can do to get you to a point where you're happy selling that Wiggins back at the 85 that you bought it at. Though I will say most things are down about 50% since the highest of highs. So Wiggins isn't necessarily
If it's full disclosure.
Doing, yeah.
If it's full, it disclosure, full disclosure, we bought it at 47. We bought it at 47.
Oh.
And we tried to sell it for 85. And now we're at 59. So we're just really playing the long game for $12.
You can get rid of it right now for $32. $32, you eat that 18 and you're off Wiggins Island. Don't decide right now, but just know that you can do that if necessary.
I'm just saying, people were tweeting at me. People wanted to see the Wiggins. It's basically a celebrity right now. So really the price is only going up. People are talking about the Wiggins.
Your specific serial, 5747, is kind of like this famous Wiggins moment. People are talking about tweeting about it.
Exactly. Everybody wants to see it. And you know what? Soon admission to see it is going to go up.
That's right. So make sure you check out, keep your eye on Wiggins 5747. Shout out.
Yes. Shout out. Boom Explosion.
Sweet. William, where can people buy more of you?
You could buy me at the other HeadGum podcast, No Joke Podcast, of course, with
That's
Adam
right.
Lustig. And on Twitter and Instagram, it's my name, Billy Scafuri, as always.
And on Top Shot, Boom Explosion.
The most important handle that I neglected to include, Top Shot, Boom Explosion.
It'd be cool if like everyone in the world had Top Shot and then it's like, oh, Venmo me for that lunch. It's like, you know what? Let me just cut you an Ish Smith right now. I'll Venmo you. Instead of Venmo, I'll just Top Shot you an Ish Smith, a $17 for that salad.
I mean, we are approaching with dibs. Like, can I just like throw you 15% of a Jokic? It's like, yeah, sure. That's great. We got a pizza. That's perfect. Just throw me 15% of a Jokic.
That's right. You can call dibs on that. Anyway, I'm on the wait list for dibs, so I'll have some more information for everybody next week. Thank you to you guys for watching.
We are on the wait list for dibs.
Thank you for listening, I should say. Enjoy All-Star Sunday. It's all happening on Sunday, including, yes, the Elam ending. Shout out to Elam, who is a guest on the show. They brought back his ending, so I'm looking forward to seeing that as well.
Yes, and the dunk contest at halftime featuring Obi Toppin.
All right. Obi's flying to Atlanta for it. You should bet on
him. Yes.
One
we'll
Daniel
on
Tice.
For sure.
For sure. All right, cool. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week or two. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.